ever walk out of church thinking you didn't come away with something, it's because you didn't allow God to till the soil. And so I requested some songs, and talking with Tim this morning, he had changed some stuff up. And I was like, all right, I trust you, Lord. Everything that God had spoke to Tim had lined up with what I'm preaching about. He didn't know what I was preaching on this morning. And so I'm like, God, it's a divine appointment. You are not here by accident this morning. It is a word from God. I know when God's going to use me, but there are times when God gives me a message that the burden is so heavy on how I need to communicate it that I feel sick to my stomach. I feel so nervous that I got to get this right. I have to communicate, God, what you are speaking through me. And I'm getting emotional because I already feel the Spirit moving. We've already talked about heard about God's miracle healing power. And I think sometimes we just forget how great our God is. And we like to put him in a box. We don't know why we go through the things that we go through or the way we lose the people that we lose. But God's ways are greater than ours. And I have experienced some things in my life that when I look back in the past, I see how far I've come and I see where I came from and who they made me today. And if I didn't experience those things in life, then I wouldn't be the person that I am today. Does that make sense? That's a freebie. That's not even in my intro. I just feel, God wanting to communicate something. And I was going to say, I'm going to keep you 15, 20 minutes, but that's a lie. I have things written down, and when I read them verbatim, it's like 20 minutes, but God always sends me on these Holy Spirit, I call them Holy Spirit rabbit trails, where he prompts a thought that maybe didn't happen during your study session or anything. Anybody who's ever prepared for a message or a Bible study or anything, you know sometimes the Holy Spirit just drops something on your heart, and you got to know you got to ride that wave, right? So are you with me? Are you awake? Do we need to stand up and do some calisthenics or anything to wake up? All right. So the title of my message, I come up with titles not because that, I think I'm fancy or whatever. It's not a show. I come up with titles because my personality, you want to be able to take what you hear from the pulpit and apply it to your life when you walk out the door, right? Because if you don't, why are you coming to church? You're just wasting your time. The church is for equipping the body to go out and witness to others and make disciples and share the gospel, and the list goes on and on and on. And so I feel that when a pastor delivers a message that speaks to me, if they have a title with it, I can remember it. So therefore, when I walk out the door, I can apply it to my life, and then that seed has been sown in me, and then I can begin to water it and help it to grow, right? So the title of my message this morning is Learning to Swim. Everyone say, Learning to Swim. Okay. How many of you taken swim lessons before? From a teacher? Okay. Anybody who got taught by their parents? How many of y'all learned to swim like this? Go ahead, Jerry. There's a video. Some of you already know this scene. Maybe. In Jesus' name, technology work.
I can't swim.
How old are you?
Six.
Any of you learn to swim that way? I think sometimes that's how it is when we say yes to Jesus. It's like, he's like, all right, here you go. And you're like, what's going on? So learning to swim, today I want to take you on a journey that combines the experience of learning to swim with the profound teachings that are found in the book of James. Just as learning to swim requires practice, guidance, and courage, so does living a faithful Christian life. The visual that I like to share with folks when I'm talking about God or just starting my walk with Christ is like a child learning to ride a bike. It's kind of similar to swimming. Swimming takes a little bit more, but riding a bike, right? When you first get your bike, it's got training wheels, and dad's right there. He's got one hand on the handlebars and one hand on the back of the seat or your back, and he's pushing you, and he's helping guide you. You think you're in control because your hands are on the handlebars, but God's right there with you, right? And so he's making sure that you're not going to crash into anything, and here, this is the sidewalk that you need to stay on, you know? And so as you progress, the training wheels come off, but dad is still there. He's got the handlebars. He's got his hand on his back. And at one point, he just lets go. And you're like, whoa, whoa, God, where are you? Where are you? And you lose track of what you're supposed to be doing, steering the bike and pedaling the bike, and you fall down. You get hurt. You get scraped. But guess what? Daddy's right there to pick you back up. And what happens? Put you right back on the bike. He doesn't put the bike in the garage and say, oh, well, maybe biking's not your thing. No. You dust yourself off and you get your butt back on the bike. And so I believe our walk is like that. It's riding, learning to ride a bike. Very few of us will become professional bike riders. But riding a bike is still the goal and the purpose, staying on the path, right? Sometimes children have difficulty when they're learning is when they come across the driveway and it dips down a little bit, or they get to a cul-de-sac and it turns and they're like, I haven't turned yet. What do I do? Ride it out. So that's a lot like living the Christian life. And, you know, imagine, if you will, there's a child who's standing on the edge of the swimming pool. They're hesitant. They're unsure. The water looks deep. And the thought of stepping in is terrifying. We sang this song about, you know, fear. Fear not, for I am with you. He's standing on the edge. He's terrified about stepping in. But there's a loving parent waiting in the water saying, come on, I'm here. The child knows that the parent won't let him drown, but yet the fear is still real. Right? Just because we're a Christian doesn't mean we're not going to experience things, right? So the first few steps are awkward and uncoordinated, but with each try, the child gains confidence, learns to trust the water, and eventually swims freely without fear. If you're taking notes this morning, the point number one is faith in action. Faith in action. And while you're writing that down, if you can multitask, turn to James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. We're going to read what God says about faith in action. If you're ever wondering what you're supposed to be doing as a believer or as a Christian, go read the book of James. It is full of instructions on what we are supposed to do and how we are to live. And this is what it says. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? And he goes on to explain a little bit more. Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes or daily food. If you say to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accomplished by action, it is dead. So what does that mean? How many times have you ever asked somebody, hey, how you doing? And that was it. That's just what you do, right? You go through the motion. You just ask them. But what if that person was to stop and tell you exactly how they're doing? Would you be inconvenienced? Or would you be like, let me listen to what you have to say, and can I pray for you? Is there anything that I can do to help you? You know, there have been times in my life most recently that, you know, money's tight for all sorts of reasons, right? And I'm not going to get political. But I find myself in this moment where my boat motor went sideways, and I was golfing, and I have golf clubs since I was a teenager, and I was like, man, I wish I had some good ones, but everything's so expensive. Well, God put me in a friendship with someone who says, hey, I have this trolling motor just sitting in the garage. I'm not using it. You can have it if you want to. Friend of mine, we were talking about golfing, and he says, I got a set of clubs in the garage that I haven't used in a while. They're good clubs. You can have them. Having those conversations with people about things allowed opportunities for me to be blessed. So faith without actions, so believing but not doing is useless. So like the child learning to swim, we must move beyond just belief. We need to take action. It's not enough to stand at the edge of the pool and say that we believe that the water is going to be buoyant when we jump in there, that we're going to float. We must jump in and let our actions prove our faith. Helping those in need and offering our time, our resources, and love are ways that we demonstrate our faith. That's the thing that I think we failed to do as a society is discipleship. We have failed to take somebody under our wing and just say, hey, I think you'd be really good at this. You know, you can come and shadow me, or can you help me do this? And once they see the inner workings of how things get done, they might be more apt to take over when it's your time to step away. We need to groom the next generation, and not even necessarily generation. There's generations in here, but everybody can still do something. There's actions that can be taken. For me, when I was a kid, I valued wisdom from the older generation. There was times that I went with my dad to men's fellowships, and I was the youngest person there by 20, 30 years, and I would sit there and listen to their stories and listen to their testimonies, and that was like gold to me. There was nothing more valuable than that wisdom that they had, their life experience. And we have a lot of life experience in this building. And there's a lot of things that can be shared to the next generation. A lot of times I think we feel that we have nothing to offer, or there's not, but young, this generation is starving for knowledge and genuine love and compassion because they have a relationship with a screen and not people. It takes our faith. We need to take actions and come up behind somebody, take them out to lunch, and just let them know you care. Let them know that you love them, that there's somebody praying for them. There's somebody rooting for them in life. You want them to be successful in whatever it is. That is taking our faith into action. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 through 33, and I'm just going to kind of set up the beginning portion. Jesus had just got to preaching to a bunch of folks on the beach, and he sends the disciples off in the boat while he goes up to the mountains to pray. While he's up there praying, the disciples come into a lot of trouble, heavy winds and waves. And so Jesus goes out to them and says, Jesus came toward them walking on water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it is really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said to Peter. Jesus said, so Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. Then Jesus said, "You have so little faith. Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back in the boat, the wind stopped, and then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God." See, Peter showed faith by his actions for a second. And I think sometimes we're the same way when we hear testimonies, when we see healings, or when we hear an inspiring message. You know, we're quick to take actions when the emotions are running and everything feels good right after a good worship set, and we're ready to go and jump in the water. And what it says in the scripture is once, you know, they were afraid. But once he found out, once he got his eyes on Jesus and Jesus said, come, when Jesus gave him the answer to come out on the water, it didn't say he took off his robes and then jumped over the water. He says he jumped out and was on the water. And he walked on water for a little while. But then he lost focus of Jesus. He focused on the distractions around him, the waves and the winds of the world, and he began to sink. Now, there could have been a valuable lesson taught there where Jesus watched him sink and said, you should have just kept your eyes on me. You know, he drowns and then raises him from the dead. No, he didn't do that. He cried and said, Lord, help me. And Jesus helped him immediately. So to me, I believe that shows us sometimes that we do have that faith, but it only lasts for a little while. How do we get that faith? How do we achieve that faith that lasts a lifetime? By keeping our focus and our eyes on Jesus. A lot of the times we get influenced by what the news is showing, what social media is showing, what TV shows we're watching, and we lose focus on Jesus, and then our world starts to crumbling around us, and it's total chaos, and we wonder why. It's because we lost our focus on Jesus. I developed this thing in my life when I start to feel just overwhelmed. I look back, how's my relationship with Jesus? When was the last time I prayed? When was the last time I'd studied? When was the last time I shared the gospel with somebody? My actions were dormant, so I was spiritually drowning in the chaos that I have allowed. All that to say this, step out of the boat. It's time to take action. It's time to put your faith where your mouth is. And step out of the boat. Learn to swim. Look at this perfect picture. This is on my computer's backdrop, just as a reminder that, look, I got you. Even when you feel like you're drowning, I'll be there to rescue you. Point number two is perseverance through trials. And we're going to look at James chapter 1, 2 through 4. Everybody loves this scripture because it tells us to take joy. How many of you are happy when you're going through difficulties? You're looking at that bank account and you're like, I got three more days to pay it. I just got to make it. It's what it says. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Learning to swim involves overcoming fear, persevering through the initial struggles. In the same way, our faith grows stronger through trials. Each difficulty we face is an opportunity to develop endurance and maturity in our Christian walk. The child who keeps practicing despite swallowing water, feeling exhausted, eventually becomes a confident swimmer. Likewise, we embrace our trials as opportunities for growth. Now, this is where the water gets deep for me here, because coming up with a title of the message, this is something God put on my heart probably 3 or 4 months ago. And he spoke this to me first. And so I share it with you this morning in the hopes that it would resonate with you. And anytime that I am sharing something or I say certain words, I'm not pointing the finger. But I will say that if you have a prompting in the Holy Spirit of something that maybe might upset you or anything like that, the scripture tells us that the word of God is for training, rebuking, correcting in pursuit of righteousness, right? And I'm not saying I'm wound up, I'm about to smack you. It's not. I'm just saying that don't turn your ears off when you hear what God has to say this morning. Be open and accepting. The time for the doggy paddle Christian is over. What I mean by doggy paddle Christian, just treading water isn't enough. Just keeping your head afloat isn't enough. It's time to learn to swim. Some of us are clinging to the side of the pool, or we've got a life jacket on. We won't even get in the pool unless we got a life jacket on or our little unicorn floaty or something, just trying to stay afloat in the waters of life. There's sometimes that some of us will only venture out into the deeper waters on Sunday when we have our lifeguard, our pastor on duty. That's the only time that we'll want to show that, hey, we got faith. Look, I can swim for a little while. And then Monday comes around, we're back on the side of the pool just waiting for that lifeguard to come back on duty. It's easy to step out in faith when there's a lifeguard on duty. It's time to learn to swim in the deep end. Swim at your own risk. When you signed up and you said yes to Jesus, he tells us to count the cost before you pick up the cross. And so that means doing what it takes to learn how to swim. Doing what it takes to live a faithful life without somebody standing up here instructing you and telling you what to do. It's taking what is said here and doing it out there. A lot of the times we walk out this door and we forget everything that we just learned. It's not enough to just tread water. It's not enough to just come to church and sit in the seat. It's time to take action. Sitting back and just existing is the reason why our country is in the way that it, in the place that it is now. There's a whole lot of talk and not enough action. If you don't like your life or a situation that you're going through, do something about it. Put on your big boy pants, your big girl pants, and do something. We may think that we're just a small drop in the ocean, but that's not true. A bunch of drops make a lot of water. Ask anybody that's had any flood damage. Take off the life jacket. Get off the inner tube. Get rid of those coping mechanisms that you cling to get through life. I'm not going to name them right now, but right now the Holy Spirit is telling you what you need to change into your, in your life. If he's not, or nothing is coming to mind at this moment, you need to ask him what needs to be changed, because we are not perfect, and we all can improve. That is why God gave me this message, because there are some things in my life that I need to change. Point number three, wisdom from God. Wisdom from God. And the scripture is found in James 1, 5. It says, that, you know, James offers this beautiful promise. It says, if you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives it generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. A child learning to swim relies on the wisdom and guidance of the parent or the instructor. They cannot learn effectively on their own. In our spiritual journey, we need divine wisdom to navigate the deep waters of life. God invites us to ask for wisdom, promising to give it to us generously when we seek his guidance. He helps us make wise decisions, strengthens our faith, and leads us to righteousness. Now, don't get it backwards. God, it's not some magic pill that you have to swallow, and boom, you're smarter than you were. No. Wisdom comes from learning, from making mistakes, which requires you to take action. If you never do anything, you never make a mistake. And if you never fail, you never learn. And you never grow. It's a lot of nevers, but it's the truth. Wisdom can be passed down from others. Talking to your pastor and other believers, other brothers and sisters who have been living the faith for a while, and listening to their testimonies. Wisdom can be gained from reading. The Bible is our instruction manual for life. Now, I've never met anybody personally that's learned to swim by reading a book or watching a YouTube video or anything like that. But we have the ultimate swim instructor, Jesus Christ, who lived as an example on how we are to live our life in these troubled waters. Amen? Are you with me so far? Oh, it's only 11:30. Woo! So let us take this lessons of learning to swim and apply them to our Christian lives. Let us not merely say that we have faith, but show it through our actions. Let us persevere through trials, knowing that they refine and strengthen us. And let us seek God's wisdom, trusting that he will guide us. As we step into the deep waters of faith, may we remember our Heavenly Father stands ready to catch us and support us and lead us to swim confidently in his love and grace. And wrapping up with this, Sharon, if you want to come play something on the keyboard. I guess I didn't lie. I guess I was short. But today is a day to take action. Today is a day to stop talking about what needs to be changed and start being the change. Be the change that you want to see in the world. It starts with you. Any position in leadership that I was ever in, I had one requirement. If you come to me with a problem, you need to come to me with at least two solutions. And if it's your idea, you need to take action and run with it. Or if someone else runs with it, you need to be sure to help them. You need to be there to at least help steer the ship because it was your idea. So this morning, if God has revealed to you something that needs to change, or if it's time for you to take action, right now is the time to take that first step. You know, we don't come to the altar because there's some magical aura or something that we step into that things happen. No, there's a lot of symbolism in the Bible. And it's symbolic as we rise up out of our seat, we rise up out of our comfort zone, make that sacrifice of praise, and come to the front and say, God, everything that you just said this morning through Jake, you're speaking to me. I'm tired of just being a bump on a log. I need to do something. I don't care how big or how small, I need to take action. God, I'm drowning in my life. God, I need your help. I'm reaching up out of the water. The water is up to my nose, and I don't know how much longer I can last. I need you to pull me out. So this morning, if God is tugging on those heartstrings and you may be sitting there battling whether he's talking to me or not, or I've been living for God for so long, I don't need anything else, wrong. We just talked about there's always room for improvement. In being a bump on a log sometimes is Satan's way of holding you back from what God has promised you. There's freedom in stepping up and taking action. If all of America rised up and said, enough is enough, we would have the freedom that this country was founded on. And so if you're tired of being beat up by the world and being beat up by the devil, it's time to rise up. It's time to take action. And say, God, what do you want me to change? What do you have me to do? Who do you want me to speak to? What small group do I need to start? Where Bible study do I need to start? What street corner do I need to stand on to preach? What restaurant do I need to go to and witness to the waitress? Whatever it is, you can fill in the blank. But if God is putting something on your heart this morning, rise up, take action. Step out of the boat, and what I want you to do is just find yourself in the altar, and you open yourself to God. A lot of the times we say, man, God showed up this morning. No, God was already here. You showed up, and that's why you decided to feel him. He's always here. We got to step out of the boat so that we can walk on water. I get excited because I see the look in your eyes. I see that God is igniting that fire that you once had, not because of anything that I said, because God is reminding you where you came from and that your mission is not over. There's still work to be done. I said it before, there's no retirement in the kingdom of God. Your job title and your job description and your duties just change a little bit. If you've got nothing, hey, I need some wisdom. I'll sit and talk with you and have some coffee. I need to be sown into. I value mentorship. I value correction. Anything that I can learn, I will soak it up. I will not let my pride get in the way. Again, final call. I could be just talking to myself this morning. But as he continues to worship and play, step out of the boat. Get excited for what God is calling you to do. He's calling you to be a change in a world that's corrupt. How are you not excited about that? To go kick the devil in the face. Not today, Satan. We want to make t-shirts for all you guys. Not today, Satan. Let that be a walking billboard testimony. You thought you had me. He thought he had your legs, but he didn't. I could talk all day. I'm not trying to be a motivational speaker. What action that you take is between you and God and your heart. There's nothing I can say that's going to get you to heaven. It's between you and God and your relationship. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior, I would love to talk with you. Just come up and talk with me. I'm not going to do anything goofy. I just want to talk to you. I'm a plain dude. What you see is what you get. I talk to God like I talk to anybody else. And He listens to me. He hears me because He knows how I communicate. We are made in His image. It's very simple. We don't have to do the whole kneeling thing to talk to God for Him to hear us. Just talk to Him. God, I'm drowning. God, I'm struggling. God, today was terrible. He hears you. You don't have to say, "Woe is me, O Lord, today stinketh." No. Tell Him how you feel. But make sure when you do, you open your ears to listen what He has to say. Last time, this is your opportunity. Have your moment with God.